coming up on Your Best Life.
He's more excited about our plan than we are about our plan. He's jumping up and down saying, oh, this is going to be awesome. You're going to have so much fun. Now I'm living my
best life. Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Simple, yes. And we have some media board, what do you call them? Media walls? Is that what you call them? Where you can get your photo took outside there against the media wall and just celebrating a new day, new look, fresh day, etc., etc. Well, I am excited today. Welcome back, Mrs. Christine Pringle, too, would you, everybody? Pastor Chris, great to have you back in the house. Great women's conference recently. Well, women's night, wasn't it? And all sorts of things. And they've been up in Sri Lanka with Richard and Kate and a team up there visiting orphanages and holding meetings and a conference and doing all kinds of great things. So we've got people all over the world. We just had our Canadian conference, which I was not at this last week, with thousands of people there apparently. And then the European one, which had similar, when I say thousands, it was a lot of people. And a lot of people at the packed out venue in Hanau, Germany. And a bit before that, we had the Australian one. And all over the world, we're seeing great growth. Pat and Amanda are leaving shortly for Africa this week. They have the African two conferences in Africa with ministers. I mean conferences there. And this last week, I just saw that one of our pastors from right here in the city, from our church in Ryde, was in the Middle East and seeing so many people coming to Christ, so hungry for God. I'm telling you, there's a huge revival going on. Absolutely. Great to have you if you're watching online today as well. And we're thrilled that you're with us, and we pray that God will bless you. Stay with us till the end of this message, because we're going to pray for you and believe God together for great things to happen in your life as well. So this is the beginning of a series, people, called Spirit of Faith. You got to have faith. Everybody say, you got to have faith. Faith, it's indispensable. You got to have it. It's not like an optional extra. Like you go to a car yard, do you want Bluetooth, or do you want the metal rims on your wheels, or do you want the leather handle on the steering wheel? No, you know, they are optional extras. They're not necessary. But he doesn't say, do you want a motor in the car? Well, yeah, because of course it's essential. You can't do without that. Do you want wheels? Yes. Well, faith is like that. It is not an optional extra. It is essential to the Christian life. Ephesians 2:8, by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, the faith that you got. Therefore, Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith takes you into peace. And it's so essential that we have faith in our lives, because we live in a generation which is so doubting. It's the Thomas generation. We doubt anything unless we can see it first, then we'll believe it. Or understand it first, and then we'll believe it. But God is calling us to a life of faith, where we walk by faith, not by sight. And then through faith, we get understanding, a perfect understanding of situations that we're facing. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God. If you said to your kids, look, we're gonna go down to the beach this afternoon, they said, oh, I doubt that. You know, as if that'll ever happen. That doesn't make you feel that good. If you're just a father, you know, and you say, look, I'm gonna supply you with a bed tonight. Yeah, right, as if you'd ever supply me with a bed. I doubt that. And then you start praying, supply me with a bed. I said I'd supply you with a bed. Supply me with a bed, supply me. No, just believe I'm gonna do it. And so faith is honoring God's word. It's saying, yeah, I believe you. And then it actually activates your ability to receive what he has given you. When it's not even about moving God. It's about putting yourself in a position to appropriate what he has already provided for you. And so in Romans 14, verse 23, it says, whatever is not of faith is sin, misses the mark. You'll never hit the bullseye in life unless you start being a believer. And then this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore speak. So faith isn't just a creed I believe. It's not a set of beliefs I've said, yes, that's my faith. That's what I believe. Faith is actually a spirit. It's bad grammar, but let me say it like this. It's what you be. It's not just what you believe. It's what you be. It's being bold in life. It's being confident. And I like to think that if you've lost your confidence, you can get it back in the service. I'm here to make sure that you get back some of that boldness that you had when you were born. You came out screaming, baby. Ah! What happened? Confidence is like hitting the jackpot in life. I mean, there's no value that you can put on it. If you were to win $1 million, $1 billion, it's not as valuable as being bold in life, as being confident in life. One of the worst things that can happen to you is for confidence to be taken away from you, to be destroyed, to be walking around not able to lift your head, feeling intimidated and nervous and fearful. And that's a terrible, tormented place to be in. Today, I want you to get your bold back. I want you to get your confidence back on, and I'm going to show you how to do it. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's not a pill I give you. It's not even a few statements to make or something you sign. It's so simple, and we're going to get to it, just a way that you can actually access a power in your life that helps you walk boldly. And let me tell you, boldness is something that comes from the Holy Spirit. Whenever the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they were bold. That means they were confident. And when they were so confident, people said, how come these guys are so confident? And then they said, we recognize that boldness. That guy Jesus was just like this too. They said, these people have been around Jesus. And people who go to C3 Church should walk out of here bold, baby. We should be confident in life and not arrogant or obnoxious. I'm not talking about that kind of confidence. I'm just talking about well-poised, elegant, moving through life effortlessly, being bold in the face of impossible circumstances, believing with a calm faith in God that nothing's impossible, that you're going to make it through whatever you're facing in Jesus' name. Come on, help me preach here today. Faith is what you be. I like that grammar. You know, as I start this, I just need to do a little 5-minute detour, because as soon as I start talking about this, I know that there's going to be some people watching this as a TV show or watching online or right here in our service who feel, I've tried all that, you know, and they got wounded. And they've got a wounded spirit and it hurts to become positive. It's like, I'm just going to stay cynical. I don't want to get my hopes up. I've been disappointed before. In Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so when we've had disappointments in life, we can get wounded on the inside of ourselves and feel like we've got a sick heart. And that is a very difficult thing. Look at this scripture in Exodus 6:9. Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit. What had happened? Well, Moses was out the back of a desert herding sheep, and a bush was burning, and a voice came out of the bush. I said, Moses. And he looks around and he says, yo, what's up, bush? And there's a bush talking to him. Now, if you said to me you had a bush talk to you, I'd say, well, that's a little weird. But if you then told me you talked back to the bush, I'd think, boy, you need help. And here's Moses saying, okay, bush, what's up? He says, well, it's time to go deliver the Israelites from Pharaoh. He says, how will I do that? Because I'm just a shepherd. He says, what's in your hand? He says, a stick. He says, I'll throw it down. It became a snake. He said, pick it up. It was a stick again. He said, whoa, that's amazing. He says, I got another one for you. Put your hand in your chest. He said, yeah, pull it out. Ah, it's leprosy. He says, put it in again. Ah, oh, healed. Wow, that's amazing. What's your name? He says, I am. No, I said, what's your name? I know you is, but what's your name? I am. No, I can't go and say I am has sent me. That just doesn't sound right. He says, I am that I am. Oh, that's even worse. I am that I am sent me. He says, go with that. And it's Yahweh. That's what we know as Yahweh. So he goes to the elders and of Israel. He says, hey, guys, I've been, me and men, a bush of me getting together and talking, and it was God. It's a God thing. And look, wow. And they go, he says, wow. Yeah, maybe God is with this man. And you're going to set us free? He says, yeah, I am. So he goes to king of Egypt. He says, hey, king, God's been talking to me. We're leaving. We're out. You're losing all your slaves today. We're gone. He says, why would I do that? He says, watch this. Bang. And picks it up. It's a stick again. He says, this one too. I've got two tricks. Boom. This one. And the king yawns. Oh, we got guys who can do that. We've been doing that for years. Moses goes, what? God, you've tricked me. This is awful. He says, listen, all this talk about leaving and worshiping and stuff, double the amount of bricks they have to make and halve the resources and whip them harder. They were wounded in their spirit. They got their hopes up. They thought, yes, God's getting us out of our slavery, getting us out of this terrible situation. They were jumping up and down, but then it didn't happen. In fact, it got worse. You will find sometimes the first steps of freedom, the grip tightens. Things get worse when you just take one step towards your liberty. But you got to keep going, because you are eventually going to get free. You will get out eventually. It's just going to take a fight. There is a fight of faith, and that means to overcome and battle. So it's a battle. It might take an hour, a day, a year. It may be a battle that you never actually break through into the winning place, but you just live above it all your life. Because let me tell you this, God is almost, I think he's more interested in developing the muscles for battle than he is in the breakthrough that we get at the end of it. And so you're going to find that you're developing a strength every day. You're battling with whatever it is you're facing. So these guys, it says, let me read it to you again. Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. God said, go back now. Oh, man, if you knew what was going to happen when you said, I'll serve God, you wouldn't do it. Because now this is challenging. I got to go back to these people, to the elders and to the king of Egypt and tell them, let my people go. Yeah, you got some more tricks. You're going to get all our hopes up again. Yeah, like last time, all rolling their eyes as if that's going to happen. They're wounded. They're cynical. They're jaded on the inside, because that's where people go to protect wounded emotions. I'm not going to get my hopes up again. It just hurts too much emotionally. I get too depressed about things that could have been. Hebrews 4:2. Interprets it like this: for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. When you hear the word, you got to say on the inside, I believe it. When you hear the word, you got to be able to say, I believe it. But whether a person has a wounded spirit, it's very hard to get positive. Very hard. So let me tell you what happens in a wounded spirit. It's like when it's cut. Somebody cuts you with cutting words and you're bleeding on the inside and you got these black angry thoughts and you want revenge and you're feeling unforgiven. The only way to deal with that is to stitch it up. Closure. That's called closure. That's called forgiving. You got to forgive people. Some it's easy. Some, oh, what? I don't want to forgive that person. I want to get revenge. Isn't there a scripture? Revenge is fine, says the Lord. No, it's actually revenge is mine, says the Lord. You forgive. So forgive and it closes. And man, look, every one of us are going to get offended in this life. And probably one day I'm going to offend you. I'm sorry. I'll apologize in advance. Because... maybe somebody's upset I'm wearing jeans that got holes in them, you know, like these are not cheap, these sort of jeans. costs a lot of money to look poor these days, you know. It's like, Nick's got a pair too. Or you're praying knees, you know, like, yeah. So it's like, it's not like we sit in our office and say, how can we upset somebody this week? It's just impossible to live through life without upsetting somebody or being upset by something. But the only way you navigate that is the way Jesus taught us. He says you can get through life beautifully if you just forgive. Let it go. Jesus teaches you how to navigate all of life, every area. I'm just talking about this one area where you meet those moments where you're angry, you're made angry by something and you got to cut and close it. And then look, you know how a wound, if you get a cut and you close it up, but if you go hang out in the mud or unclean areas, it's going to get infected. So you got to hang out with antiseptic Christians. Don't hang out with septic people. You know, toxic, they will infect that. And the thing is, it's so attractive. You go and have a pity party with them, you know, moan about the same things. Oh, you know, they did that, yeah, I did that. And you can do that for years, waste years of your life in a kind of a bitter area, and it's very contagious. It spreads. No, that's why it's important to be in the house of God, to actually turn up and rub shoulders with people who are clean spiritually, who are actually going to put healing balm in there and not toxins, and they're going to be smiling. And when you start worshiping and when you start drinking the Holy Spirit in worship, there will be like an antiseptic flowing through your system to actually bring healing and salvation at every level. And then read the Bible, it has healing in it too. Another thing is bruises. You know, like when you get your conscience gets bruised or your heart gets bruised, you just take a sudden thump in your life you didn't expect. Well, it makes you sensitive, but it'll go. Give it time. Don't make big decisions when you're bruised. Like if you bruise your arm and then somebody touches you on it just lightly, it hurts. You're sensitive. You go, oh, what's that? But if people are bruised in their spirit, it's the same thing. You say, hi, how are you? Whoa, what's it to you? I don't know. And they're all kind of prickly. And it just time will pass and they'll be calm again. Or else you can have a break. A bone can break. Or else you get poison in your spirit. Other people putting poison. These are things that can happen to a person's spirit. And when they hear a positive message, it's like it lands on an area that's a little cynical. So here today, in the name of Jesus, be healed and be strong and be healthy in your spirit so that you can hear the word of God and mix it with faith and not with fear or with doubt and say, I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to switch my faith on here today in Jesus' name. And when you do that, you'll find yourself actually rising to another level. Now, this is what I really I'm excited about getting to here, because faith is like an atmosphere that you create around you. And when other people get in the zone of that atmosphere, they are going to feel built up. They're going to feel strengthened. The atmosphere of doubt will make your knees knock against each other. Your legs turn to water. You get that big emotional negative wash through your emotions and mind, and you can't think straight. But faith composes you. When you start to believe, it puts you together. It integrates all the parts of your being. And Romans 4:20 says, Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, this is a man who's 100 years old, and his wife is 90 years old. And God has promised him that he's going to have a baby through his wife. He's 100, she's 90. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't stagger and say, oh, that ain't gonna happen. He started to give glory to God. He organized his atmosphere. He started to give glory to God, and he found that strengthened his faith. When you start to praise God over your world, you will strengthen your faith. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. All right. To give continual praise to God, sometimes it's going to be a sacrifice. Because some seasons of your life, you do not feel like giving praise to God. You feel like talking about how the devil is attacking you. Every time you do that, you inflate the devil and you discourage angels. But there are angels and there is a power from heaven that you provide access into your life through praise. When you praise, you activate angels. When you praise God, you provide God with a throne that he sits on. It says God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. When you praise God, you strengthen your own spirit and you shake off, as I said before, a garment of heaviness. And you got a praise garment and you've got to put it on every day. It just don't leave it in the wardrobe and do teachings about praise. And every time you're feeling happy or facing a circumstance, don't just put a CD in the car or whatever that is, or download some praise music don't let somebody else sing your praises. You've got a voice. Don't let the devil steal your song. You meant to stand up and sing your own praise to God. Like we were told earlier on, you may not think your voice is that wonderful. Well, join the club. 99% of us in this room can't sing like any of these people up here. But we can make a joyful noise, the Bible says. We can make a joyful noise to the Lord in the shower, wherever you are. You got to get your praise on. When you get your praise on and you start to praise God for my circumstances, you might say, but they're horrible. You got to praise him. Lift up your hands. When Moses was at the top of a mountain and the Israelites were fighting the Philistines, fighting the Canaanites, and he was standing up there, he lifted up his hand in praise and in worship to God. After a while, he got tired. And as he got weary, the enemy started winning. But when he lifted his hands, they started winning. The Israelites started winning. Praise will take you into your victory. You will defeat the enemy that's coming against you. Do you know what? He got so tired that his friends had to hold up his hands. That's what I am here today. I'm your friend. I want to hold up your hands. I want to hold up your hands. If you're a little weary, if you're a little tired, and you're saying, I'm not sure I can really do this, I'm going to lift your hands up with you and say, let's do this together. And start praising God. And when he says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. I mean, praise when times are good is kind of easy. But praise when times are bad, that's a sacrifice. And the sacrifice of praise is worth 100 times what ordinary praise is. Because it's challenging. It's got gold in it. It's got weight in it. When you start to praise God, when it's difficult and it's hard, you are going to break through into an area of bringing praise that's valuable, praise that is worthy, praise that is honoring God. And there's so many things to praise God for. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the church, for the word, for creation, for life itself, for the victory he's given, all of these things. Psalm 150, I want the musicians to come right now. Psalm 150 is the doxology of the book of Psalms. It's the 150th Psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. What is all that about? Well, that says, praise God in church. Be in church and spend time praising God. That's what we do at a Sunday 10 a.m. service. We do it in all our services. But my goal every Sunday 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. service is we will celebrate. We will be joyous. We will dance. And we will glorify God and magnify him to lift people's hearts and spirits. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. The word firmament means gap. There's a lot of gaps sometimes in our parenting, a lot of gaps in our marriage, a lot of gaps in our finances. The income doesn't match the outgoings. Praise him in that area. Praise him in the areas where there's a gap in your life. Praise God with his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Why do we praise him for his mighty acts? Because they're so mighty. We got a healing service up there. People will be healed of cancer today. People will be healed by the power of God. They're mighty acts, friends. Praise God for mighty acts before that happened. Praise God for mighty acts when they're happening. Praise God for the mighty acts he's done in our past. It says in verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Just means get everything you got. Get all the instruments you've got. Let everything be rendered into praise to God. Employ it all. Verse 4, praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. I mean, everybody's got a dance in the world. The Irish have the river dance. The Scots have their dance. The Highland dance. The cowboys have their line dancing. People of God, we have a dance. We have a dance. Woo! We have a dance. We're dancing in the streets, people. We have a dance. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Come on, people, stand up. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Get your praise on. Here today, we're dancing in. You know what? I want us in these last 5-6 minutes or so to do a few things, but firstly, I would like you to, I mean, you may not be comfortable with lifting your hands. That's okay. Maybe just do a little one. Just a little lift. Maybe not even two hands, just a one-handed lift. If you're, I don't want to make you do anything that you're awkward, feeling awkward about it. If that's a little hard, maybe hands in the pocket, little stretch out, you know, whatever. Some of you are a little crazy, just, hello, you know, that's all right. We love you all, you know, but right here in this house today, let's lift our hands and just praise God over all of our life. Go on, go ahead. Just praise God. Just say it. Praise God. Praise God over my life. Praise God over my home. Praise God over our people. Praise God over our family. Praise God over our finances. Praise God over our relationships. Praise God over all the circumstances we're facing. Praise God. Lord, the power of praise, the power of worship. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you for the glory of God filling our mouths, filling our hearts. Praise God. Praise God for the glory of God filling this church. Praise God for every seat filled. Praise God for people turning to Christ. Praise God for people discovering Jesus. Praise God for your power, your presence falling on every heart, falling on every life. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Oh God, we praise you. We praise you over the church. Praise you over our people. Praise you over the Connect group. Praise you over salvations. We praise you over our youth. Lord, we lift up our hands and we praise you over every area of our church life. Dear God, we lift up your name. We lift up your glory. We lift up your presence. And we will praise. We will praise. We will praise. And we will worship you. Amen. Sometimes it's a fight to praise. And we're going to go for just another 30 seconds. And I want you to break through in this area. It can be a fight to stir up your faith. But do it right now. Before we sing this again, strengthen your faith. Give praise to God in heaven. Let everything that has breath praise, praise, praise God. Let everything that has breath praise, praise the Lord. Let his name be exalted. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Come on, people. Give God a great clap offering. Hear the day, Lord.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.